in Roman history. He points ahead to the future and he says, essentially, if you don't keep this journey, none of this stuff is going to happen. And points to Roman history basically from Romulus and Remus all the way up to the time of Augustus. It's really this wonderful and spectacular panoply of Roman history, again, told without any of the blemishes or warts. It's all seen as a sort of a victory celebration. And Aeneas is fortified to go back and to continue his journey.
2 points, one specific and one general. The general point is that even though Aeneas goes to the underworld, that it's not a trip back to the past, and it's not primarily a visit that involves nostalgia or the learning of history from the point of view of when Aeneas is alive. Rather, it is about the future. Now, Dante can't use quite the same techniques because Christian theology would not allow him to do all the things that Virgil does in Book 6. But I think it is important to suggest that although all the characters we're going to be meeting are dead, and therefore by definition part of the past, it does not mean the poem of Dante does not have a future orientation. Indeed, it is about remedies for the world. It is about Dante's own conversion in both personal and universal ways. Like that journey of Aeneas, Dante's journey is not about nostalgia, not about simply reviewing the past, but it ultimately has an important future orientation. My specific point would be as an illustration of one of the things that Dante learns from his father. His father at one point says to Dante, you know, there are other peoples who will be better at art and other things than you Roman guys. There'll be better people in making bronze statues and stuff. However, Romans, the thing you're going to be best at is to rule. And Dante, looking partly at that, has great respect for Roman law and also great respect for the Roman emperors, because Dante is convinced that despite the failures of emperors in his own day, that indeed Romans are the ones who rule, and that Rome should be the center of the world in terms of where the ruler is, because from there should be dispensed the best law, the best justice, and the best order. That's not happening in Dante's own day is a sign of failure and a sign of sin.
One other thing in terms of his trip to the underworld, which is perhaps more in terms of technique, we've already suggested that Dante is able to take events that occurred in his own lifetime and use it as prophecy, because he sets the poem in 1300, but he's writing the poem later. It's a technique that he learned from Virgil, who has the whole panorama of Roman history from its origins to the time of Augustus when it's written, all right? But what he's talking about, of course, is this earlier mythical time. And even though Dante doesn't have such a great span, okay, he's not going from Romulus and Remus all the way up to Augustus, he is going from that date 1300, when he was at the height of his own political power as a prior in Florence, to all of the things connected with his exile and beyond, all the way up to the actual composition of the poem. Again, a technique that he gets from Virgil.
I think that idea is a good transition to the third figure we want to talk a little bit about.
Not so fast.
Not so fast.
Not so fast. One other thing that I want to mention about this, and that is that to the Middle Ages, one of the things they looked to Virgil for is the story of the hottest love affair of antiquity. The story between the love affair between Dido and Aeneas in Book 4. It's a classic. Got all the good elements, including an irresolvable conflict and the fact that it ends very tragically. Right? Dante will take that story also and use it in all kinds of interesting ways. Because what Virgil wants to explore is it possible to have some sort of happy ending when duty and passion come in conflict with each other? Dido, the queen of Carthage, gets the hotsies for Aeneas when he lands in Carthage and turns their friendship into this very passionate affair, which ends tragically for her when Aeneas is sort of recalled to his duty and says, hey, I hope we can be friends, but I'm leaving now. Okay? It's a very important part of the poem, not only in itself, but because of the kind of subsequent history that it had. One way of taking a look at Dante's use of it, I mean, Dante actually refers to that story. He places Dido, for example, in Inferno 5, the canto of Inferno that deals with the lustful. But in a larger sense, Dante